wasn't going to come up here, actually. I have a, it's kind of like, for me, it was kind of like life-changing, because like oftentimes when we're on the road, like we don't see all the like danger out there, kind of. And I actually had, on Tuesday, I was driving down my hill, and a car came into my lane. Nice swerve, and I'm not even joking. I literally, like, you know how people say you see a light flash before you? I didn't believe that, but I actually saw my whole life flash before me. And then that was really eye-opening for me. And then today, actually, I was driving, and a car turned, and I pulled up, and they slammed their brakes, and I hit them, and I sat, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, I just hit someone, you know? And I cried for like a half an hour, but the person that came out, I was like, I don't know what's, you know, I never hit anyone in my life. And I was like, I didn't know what to do, I just cried. And they were really calm and like so nice. They're like, don't worry about it, you know? And they're like, nothing even happened to your car or my car. And I was like, wow, thank God, because if it did, I don't know what to do. Okay.
All right, I'll come up. Crow. I see.
I just have a praise report. We, as many of you guys know, we just got back from 2 weeks at Pilgrim Camp, my brothers and myself, and God just moved so hugely. It was, big things happened. It was just so awesome to see how, you know, it was like around, I think, 72 young men got together, and God really moved in all the prayer meetings and the worship meetings, and you know, just seeing them get together and praying for each other and worshiping God, it was just awesome. So it was just my praise report. God came through, and thank you, Jesus. Yes.
All right. Yeah, we had two people from China where they get like persecuted. And they got baptized here so that when they go back, you know, it's really tough for them over there. So they wanted to get baptized, and they wanted to just make that public confession. So that was really cool, you know, like all the way from China. All right. Well, yeah, we just got back from Pilgrim Camp. You know, I didn't have much time. Some people are at a wedding, and so, you know, it's some people are not here with us today, but I still believe that God is going to speak to us, and even if it's maybe not as long as normally would go, that I believe that God has something for you. And so we'll start with that. I want to start with the following Bible verse from John 1:43. It says that the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So very simple verse. We're starting with that, and emphasis on follow me. And such a simple invitation. You know, when I look at that, he just found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." And even though it's such a simple invitation, this is where in the lives of many people, in the lives of many young people, it becomes so frustrating, so confusing for people, right? They find themselves so challenged. It seems such a simple thing, and yet many find themselves down the road confused, frustrated. And basically, you know, some of us might even find ourselves like same old, same old. I want something more. I read about all the stuff that God does, but it just seems like somewhere I'm stuck. And tonight I want to talk about, I titled the message, Imitating God, so we can begin to understand. You know, we're just starting very briefly. Basically, we're going to look at some basic truths, so that what it's like to be set apart like him and for him, what it's like to be holy, that's what set apart means, holy, like him and for him, so that, like the Bible says, we can come to a perfect man, not to man meaning a perfect person, you and I, man representing mankind, so come to a perfect person, just like Christ, right? To the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the goal, is that we become like him and we grow like him. So we're talking about imitating God today. And if you join us on Sunday, so tomorrow I believe it'll be maybe a similar topic. And we've been talking about holiness and bearing fruit on Sundays. And these terms like are so rarely used now, especially like holiness. If you go to, you know, you can go to a conference somewhere and say like, be holy for I am holy. And it'll like kind of kill the joy, you know. Like a lot of times we don't even use that anymore. We're almost afraid of that word, like holy. We put it so far out there, but it wasn't so like in the Bible. When in their time, when they would say, call their brothers holy. Like I would say, you know, Kirill, my holy brother. Or you know, we use that term and we talk to one another in terms and we reminded each other that we are holy. And it's such a vital part in our Christian life. It's such a vital part in a Christian walk. Yet so many times we're so afraid of it. And I wanted to continue on that. We're just going to basically just get into it a little bit. And so I hope you go with me. A lot of times the way we treat Christianity can be like this. It's kind of like going through a drive-thru. Like, you know, can I get an order of like being really nice? Maybe like a side of, you know, bringing a couple friends to Christ and then like a large get my life together. You know, and we've become such a catered culture in so many areas. And I think even if I look at myself, so many areas where the reason I get so confused with some of the stuff that's in the Bible is because I've become accustomed to a catered to culture. When you're catering to a party, that means everything that you need is brought to you. And when I, like how often I come to church, I'm like, okay, I'm going to come on Sunday. I'm going to get my word for the week. I'm going to get my worship for the week. If worship was bad, that kind of affects my week. And it's not even correct, right? Bad worship is only you not worshiping. Worship comes from you and it goes to God. And then I'm like, you know, I need a podcast. I need to fill myself during the week a little bit. Or, you know, let me listen to some worship music. And all of that's good. But if you think about it, we have so much catered to us, and that's why we get so frustrated when we read stuff like in the Bible talking about good works and talking about what to do and put this off and do this and you were made for good works, and we get so confused because it's like all over the place how we're taught and we're not even used to it. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today and remind us and help us understand how much choice and willpower that we have, that we were designed to have. And because a lot of times you see people like, say, on this side, they're saying like, saved by grace through faith, don't judge me. Then you have people over here like, oh, just be good, you know, be good. And then you have people over here like, super, you know, works, 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 works. They're always like coming at you, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And we get confused somewhere in there because we see all that. We hear one sermon, then we hear another sermon. And we might be a little frustrated and confused. And we know that God says in Genesis 1, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And right in there, you know, God's word never returns void. Right in there we see be, subdue, fill, dominion, have dominion. It's all active. And that's what our faith has to be like. It's powerful. It's alive. It's active. And we need to understand this. We need to begin to look to Christ so that our faith become alive. So that we have less people sitting in the pews and not I'm not like, I mean like, you know, like obviously got to hear for a sermon, but not like, you know, just sitting there, okay, I go home for the week and my life goes on. I come back, I sit there, I listen. But we need faith that's alive, that's active. And everything that's in the Bible is for you. And it's all about Jesus, but it's for you. All the stories, it shows how God is faithful, how God uses even normal people. Healing, you know, casting out of demons, all of that is for you, even if you're 12 years old. It's all for you. And it's because faith is active. We were designed to have a will. We were designed to walk and to have dominion and receive what Christ has for us. And that's what we want to talk about today. I think a lot of times we could either find ourselves like feeling a little lost and afraid, like maybe like perhaps you looked around too much at the wind and the waves, like Peter on the water when he was walking to Christ. He was doing so well walking on water. There's nothing recorded of walking on water before of someone other than Jesus. And Peter walks in the water, he looks around, he begins sinking. And or your how you're living, and this is a really also a big one that often gets us frustrated and lost. How you're living is not lining up with who you are. So who you are when you're born again is who the Bible says you are, but how you live is showing where you are and what your focus is on. And we're going to learn about the old man and the new man a little bit and talk about that. And that's what I want to review is our core, foundational truth, some basic reintroduction into some of those foundational cores so that we can press on the rest of this year. God wants to do so much for us. He's spoken it throughout this year to us. Excuse me. He's been directing us. He's been guiding us. He's been setting up opportunities. And we're about to start our first outreach right in the middle of the city soon. And we need him for that. But we can't keep going back we need to remind ourselves of our core. But we also need to grow. And to grow, you need to begin to understand and go after the things that God has for you. So we're going to read Ephesians 5. And it's actually going to be a number of verses, Max. I didn't put the dash in there. I just saw that because I didn't know where I'd stop. But just please keep up with me. So Ephesians 5, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting," basically saying like anything not healthy, any talk, any nasty conversations or jokes or anything like that, "but rather of giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words." Don't let them make excuses. Don't let them tell you otherwise. "For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Is that where it stops? Okay. That's actually pretty good. I'll just read a little bit, 15 through 17. "See then that you walk circumspectly," or "see then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." All right, point number one, where we're going to talk about imitating God is you were. All right, someone say, "I was." All right, awesome. I was. So it says that you, verse 8, "For you were once darkness." I was once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. I am light in the Lord. Right? And that's where we're going to start with. You were. The Bible often talks about the old man, but what is the old man really? The old man, it's your selfish, sinful nature. It naturally opposes God. The Bible even says it wars against God, the carnal mind. It says that following God is too hard. It says that God is not real. It says that I don't need to change. I just need to maybe improve. I just need this and that. And it's always opposing God. That's what the old man is. So when the Bible says put off your old man, it says put off that sinful, selfish nature. It's that old self. It's all about you. And you were. So when you read the Bible, and anytime it says, therefore, like we just read, therefore be imitators of God, And if you're studying, this will actually help you, because if it says therefore, that means that something was explained earlier that he's getting to now, like again, or he's continuing on, or he's making a point of something that he says earlier. And so he says, Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as their children. So we're looking back a little bit to Ephesians 4:22. It's just a few verses. He says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So he says, put off the old man. And even earlier, he starts talking about the old man before that. And so what you need to understand is that you are wasting time if you are spending any time trying to fix, mend, or even keep something of your old self. It's a waste of time. Put off your old man. Consider it dead. And leave him dead, or leave her dead. Right? When the Bible talks about him, it's referring to like a man. Man refers to all. And so put off the old man means leave him dead. Because there is nothing in Christ for the old man. The old man is against Christ. It's opposed to the things of God, and it cannot be that. And we know that, right? Especially the bad things about us. But we don't completely understand that it's all about Christ. So if it's all about Christ, then you really aren't of any regard. Like, your old man has no account. There's nothing good. There's nothing worthwhile about it. Not even good. And so when the Bible says put off your old man, not only does this mean your old self, your bad self, but also means your good self. And that's where we get stuck a lot of times, because a lot of times it's like, you know, let's say you have like a piece of clothes and you cut off some of the bad spots and then you try to sew some of the better ones together. It's just not going to fit. It doesn't work. And so he delivered you from yourself, not only your bad self, but he also delivered you from your good self. And that's very important. It's kind of hard to understand if you might think like, why what's good? Because if we spend time trying to work on what's good about us, it's like a job interview when you come there and they say, well, what are you good at? And they try to analyze your skills. But the whole gospel of Christ says that there's nothing of me that is good. That there's nothing of me that he needs. And so we put off the old man. We receive what he's given to us so that we can live and go forward. Because if we're stuck admiring our old selves or something that we're working on that's good, we're just trying to improve, we'll never be able to go into all of what Christ has for us. And that's where a lot of people get stuck, because they're like, they see their whole past, they see themselves, and so they're trying to see how they can go from this to this. But you can only go from this to this if that old man dies, if he's gone. And the Bible says, regard him as dead. Dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And so that is the wonderful message, and that is what helps us imitate God. When we leave everything about us behind, and we just look to him for who we are, we look to the Word to build us up for who we are, then we are able to become who he says we are. So you were, leave him as were. Don't bring him back, any of him or her. And so, and that's when you'll be able to experience the fullness of God and experience what he has for you. When you stop looking in the mirror and you start looking to your Savior, you'll be able to see and walk in what he has for you. All right? So, and we know that in Luke, I forgot to mention this, that in Luke, the Bible says, pick up your cross daily. Because one time we know that there's nothing good about us, but sometimes we forget and we try to allow those old desires and passions and lusts to have a little more life. But you tell them, you consider yourself dead to that and you go forward. Point number two is you are. And these points were still in progress, so I took what time I had and I tried to hear and to study. He says, going back to Ephesians, it says, for you were once darkness. So that's when we said, I was. But now you are light in the Lord. So somebody say, I am. I am. That's awesome. You are light in the Lord. It says, walk as children of light. You are. This is also so important. And this is really what guides you here. This is who you are now. And so when you look at I am, it's a positional I am holy. So when you receive Christ, you are holy. And that's why it's so important to put to death the old man and to consider him death. Because there, you look at yourself and you say, there's no way I am holy. Because I walked up to someone this week and I said, how you doing, man of the Lord? And they said, well, I'm not a man of the Lord, you know. And because in our minds, the way we look never adds up to what the Bible says we are. And that's why we have to put to death all that's in the past. I am holy. That's my position. And that means that my spirit, that it's been born again, and the Bible says it's seated in heavenly places. That's why it's actually not, it can be challenging at times, but it's, you are able to walk out that light and that life he gives, because it's now your spiritual nature to do and to walk with Christ and have communion with him. So when you need to, you can get, and this is the practice, this is why we need to spend time with the Lord, so that we quiet ourselves, our flesh, our outside, and we hear from the Lord in our spirit. We see what the Lord does, right? Jesus said, I do nothing except I see the Father do it first. That's how we should walk. Not that you're going to see God, because the Bible says no one has seen God, the Father, but that we see him in a spiritual sense. That because our spirits are born again, now we can hear, now we can listen, now it guides us. And it's honestly such a fight to do what's wrong now. I don't know if you have this as a Christian. Before it was like, you know, it's natural just to do anything bad. Now it's like a fight. Like, you know you're not supposed to do it. It would be easy just to stop. But sometimes you just want to, like, give your flesh the advantage, or you just, like, try to do something quick, you know, or, like, there's that war going on. And that's because your spirit's been born again. And he gives you that power. He enables you to actually do what's right. And so regardless of what you think or sometimes what you feel, that it's too hard and I can't do it, you actually can do it. He's given you that power. He's designed and created you to actually have dominion. And so that's who you are. I am holy. And my position is set apart. That's what holy means. I'm set apart, but my command is consecrate myself. So that's what the Bible says. When be holy, for I am holy. God is holy, therefore I am holy. But I open myself, I set myself to read his word, to spend time with him, to open myself so that now he can sanctify me. He can work through me, and he can do his will through me. That's what it means when he says, be holy, for I am holy. I'm holy in his position, and now my command is to consecrate myself, meaning I know that over there is not for me. I'm going to open to myself to what God has for me. And as I walk that out, he empowers me, enables me to walk out a life. That's why even this year, that's why next week, that's why in your life you can start healing people. You can start delivering people. You can pray for people. You can have guidance in your life. You don't have to be confused. You don't have to be frustrated. Even if a challenge comes up or a season comes up where it's a little difficult, you still, in your spirit, you have direction. You have focus, and you know that the Lord is leading you. So that's what it means when you are. And that's what he says. And therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I am, and as I understand, I am. So, like, that's why I spend time with the Lord. If you're not spending any time with the Lord, if you're not reading, the Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's the Holy Spirit who opens in and speaks to us. Then you're going to be very confused. It's very simple. Like, we make it so hard to hear the voice of God, or I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. Well, he gives you wisdom. He gives you peace. But you have to make room for that. You have to open up yourself, consecrate yourself, take the time to open up yourself so that he can work through you, he can speak to you. And that's on your end. That's where you come in, because salvation is a gift. But what he has in the fullness requires you to be open to his power working through you. So I want you guys to be open to that this this year, this week, and to start that relationship with the Lord. Then you will not be confused, frustrated, and you will feel him, and you'll know him, and you'll walk with him. And the third thing is you will be. You will be. I was looking at a book of, it was like 50 Christians you should know about. And, it's always interesting because I look at all these like superheroes in the faith. You know, kind of like we look at people in models or sports world or anything, we look up to them. It would be great to meet them. And I look at some of these people, and I love seeing their photos. Like, this book had photos. I opened up, and it's so funny. You imagine these people to be, like, awesome, you know, to be like, man, that guy looks like he has the Spirit of God in him. That guy looks awesome, or that girl must have been, like, amazing, like, perfect, stately, like, so just radiating with the power of God. And you look at their faces, and they're just some normal or even weird people. You know, like, I look at some of these pictures, and I'm like, wait, that's the guy that God used? Like, this guy, some of them have beards, some of them don't. Some of them are thin, some of them are full. There's girls, there's guys. And none of them are anything special. It's so awesome to see those pictures. It's like, this guy looks like no one that I would ever come up to and talk to. But that's exactly the person that God is looking for. He's looking for you if you put your old self away. The good self and the bad self. Put it away and look to him for what he has. That's why each one of you, no matter how you look, how you act, how you feel, you can put that all aside and you can become open to what God wants to do to you. The secret to fullness in Christ is every single person in the Bible, there's some really strange people like John the Baptist. He wore different stuff. He ate locusts and honey. But every single person in the Bible that God used, it wasn't because they were normal, they had good speech or something. It was because that longing in their heart, that desire to seek the Lord, that thing that you feel, they opened themselves up to that. They acted on it in faith. They're like, I feel this desire, I'm going to take the risk, what seems like a risk at that time, that the time that I invest in what the Lord is drawing me to, that he's asking me, it's better than the time I invest in, say, my education or in working to get to look this way or working to do this or working for that. It's that longing that says, I'm going to trust that this summer, dedicating those days and those hours of my time to the Lord is going to bring me more fulfillment than doing what I want to do with my summer. And that's what God that used these people for. And they lived amazing lives. Some of them actually lived, it was really hard for them. Like Jeremiah, they threw him in a pit every time, like he would say something against them. And he would be like, you know, he would say, he says in the Bible, I tried to stop. I said, God, I'm not saying what you're saying anymore because they keep beating me up and throwing me in. And it says, your word was like fire in my bones. Like it was just, he couldn't help himself. It was his fulfillment. It was who God called him to. It was the most. And so whatever suffering he had to go through, that he was able to do that because why? He abandoned himself and he looked to God. And we look at these people now, and I'm sure they get their reward due, but we look at these people now, we're like, wow, I want to be like that. Well, you can be just like that and more. You can be more than Jesus did. Jesus said, you will do greater than these. And the secret is, am I responding to that longing in my heart? Am I taking that risk, that the time that I put in for the call that God is drawing me to is going to be worth it? And that's for you to decide. If you don't want to be frustrated or lost or just seem like you're getting nowhere, if you want to actually see this word come to life in your life and you want to see the miracles be done in your life, you want to see happy faces, broken hearts, that were abused and rejected and all that stuff, and all of a sudden they're laughing and smiling because Jesus entered their heart, you're not going to be able to give them a good career. You're not going to be able, you might be able to give them $100. Maybe they'll even go blow it on something bad. But you can give them Jesus Christ. And that changes lives. I was at the Billy Graham conference. Well, it was his son, Franklin Graham, and it was the tour of America. And I saw these two couple come up. It looked like they were addicted to drugs, you know, or had been. Just you know, thin like me, but like a little more pale. And you should have seen how happy they were. Like, I couldn't have given them anything else. I couldn't have patted on the back, said, it'll be better for you. They were just like, tears were rolling down their face, and they're just smiling. And that's why what we have to offer actually works. That's why what we have to offer can reach the richest person and the poorest person. Because you can't offer him a career. You can't offer him, you might not be able to offer him a better life, but you can offer him Jesus Christ, and you can show your love to them. And that's what I want to call you guys to, that active faith. That I was darkness. Everything of my old self, I'm not even going to try to improve myself. I'm going to get closer to Jesus. I'm putting on that new man, and I'm becoming intimate with him. So then I'll be able to live powerfully, because if I hang on to what I had, it's worthless. And that's why Paul, in closing, he said, I consider all as loss. He even said, I consider it as garbage for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. He went after, he pressed on, because he found something that even though he was the top of the top Jewish person, it was nothing compared to what Christ had for him. So that's what I want to encourage you guys and ask you guys, will you take that risk, that like risk only to find out that it was life, to lose your life only to find out that you saved your life? Or you want to hang on to the couple extra hours or days or things you want to do that don't fulfill in the end? So thank you guys for listening, and let's just bow our heads and close in prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy in our lives, God. Thank you that you are able to use anyone who's sitting here, anyone who's sitting outside. If anyone would come to you, your word says, by no means you will cast out. You'll use anyone, and the secret is that we respond to the longing in our heart and say, okay, God, you can have me. My life might be pretty good without you, or it might be terrible without you, but in the end, it's all worthless. But what I'm going for is what is eternal. And I pray that each one of these young people sitting here tonight, that they would go for what is eternal. And they would put their hope in you, and that reward that you give, and that fellowship that you give by your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being with us, and come downstairs, please.